And thank you for listening to Utah Public Radio. Up next, it's our weekly movie review. Here's our film critic, Casey T. Allen.
I know the Merriam-Webster Publishing Company has announced the word of the year for 2022 is gaslighting, and the dictionary.com website shows the word of the year for them is woman. But the word of the year for me is superfluous. That's the word I can't get out of my head after watching Avatar: The Way of Water. After the first Avatar film was released in 2009, it hypnotized the world with its groundbreaking visual effects and fully realized universe of the alien planet Pandora, filled with its fantastical creatures and slender blue residents called the Na'vi. This new sequel is set in the same planet and has almost the exact same military threat focused on moving in and harvesting Pandora's natural resources. This threat forces a family of Na'vi to relocate from the jungle to a coastal beach village where they learn to live in harmony with the ocean and with each other before the Earthling military eventually finds them and war is unleashed. Much like the first film, this sequel suffers from the same issues of heavy-handed storytelling, patchy dialogue, far too many characters to keep track of, and over-designed settings imbued with an exotic spirituality. With no exaggeration, I must inform you, Avatar: The Way of Water is 3 hours and 12 minutes long. This length is half from numerous scenes displaying the visual effects with no concern for plot development, and half from too many subplots surrounding the main story of the blue aliens fighting against interstellar colonialism. The subplots include a budding teenage romance, a young Na'vi girl feeling an especially strong connection to the forces of nature in the ocean, the relocated Na'vi family adapting to a new clan's culture, and a pod of whale-like animals who are hunted for their brain fluid. Like other popular blockbusters released earlier this year, Avatar: The Way of Water tries too hard to be entertaining. After mentally processing this film, I felt exhausted from such an overstuffed screenplay, chock full of excessive metaphors. These metaphors range from exploiting endangered animals to the generational growing pains of a young son trying to uphold the reputation of his father, to the importance of diversity for peace to endure. It's PG-13 and visual fun for the whole family, but this sequel is far too much for any science fiction lover or movie lover to take seriously. Ironic that the finale is on a literal sinking ship, since that's how my heart felt in the latter half of this film. For Flicks at 48, I'm Casey T. Allen.